Thank you, choir, for that song. I really sense a desire in people's hearts tonight to draw close to the Lord. Hallelujah. Would you turn in your scripture tonight to two locations in the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 4, Romans chapter 12. I'd announce this via our email bulletin. I'd be addressing this tonight. Somebody asked a question. They said, is this going to be instructional? And you understand that normally on Sunday evenings when I minister, it is inspirational. I mean, that's the aim, that's the purpose. But I would have to answer that question. Yes, tonight this is more instructional. It's something that perhaps we would have in the past done on a Wednesday evening, but I felt so compelled that as a church, where we're at as a church, that we need to hear this from the Word of God. This isn't psychology. It's not just a new way of doing things. This is grounded in the Bible. It's biblical. It's God's plan for the church, His body. And we're going to be talking about His body, but aren't you glad you know who the head is of the church? It's Jesus Christ. And we are His body. Here's the wonderful thing. We have experienced this tonight because it says that He fills His body with His fullness. How many has felt the fullness of Christ in the service tonight? He has been here in a very special way. Amen. I know you have stood and sat many times tonight. That's what we Pentecostals do. And if we were more true to that, we'd put the gyms out of business. But would you stand tonight for the reading of God's Word? I want to begin with 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. And as every man or every person hath received the gift, even so should everyone minister the same one to another, and as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In other words, everybody has a gift, and it's for the purpose that we can minister one to another. I'm going to be here several times tonight, but I want you to know we need everybody that's in this house tonight. Everybody. Amen? Now let's go to Romans chapter 12, where Paul uses that great illustration of the body. For as we have members in one body, listen, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ. In other words, our physical body has many different members, and there's a diversity to the members and their function and their role and their purpose. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us. We have different gifts. Praise the Lord. For the ministry, one to another. I want tonight's teaching not just to be instructional. I want it to be liberating. I think some folks just need to be liberated to do what God would have them do and experience His fullness at work in their life. Father, bless the teaching just like You blessed and inspired the original scriptures from the apostles. Lord, I pray You'd shut up our hearts to the truth, Lord. God, may we realize tonight that it's Your design and plan for this church to move forward and to minister like it's never ministered before to one another and to the lost world around us. Help us to feel that challenge in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You can be seated. I want to start tonight with the appendix. Does that be good? I was at dinner with some folks the other night, and appendix came up. That's a good dinner topic, you know, especially if you're having liver. It came up in that conversation, and most of us know it with even a rudimentary knowledge of the anatomy, but there is no apparent role, apparent purpose for your appendix. Or in plain English, you can do without it. Your appendix is expendable. If you don't believe that, there'd be some dead people in here tonight. How many's had your appendix removed? Aren't you glad your appendix is expendable? No apparent or known, I mean, the best they can do to say is that we used to use it, but we've evolved past the need of it. So that's a leftover reminder that we have evolved. How many buys that? The appendix is expendable. But I want to tell you tonight, every believer in the house, as a part of the body of Christ, you are not expendable. The body needs you. Whatever age bracket, however long you have served the Lord, no appendix in the body of Christ. No folks that are expendable. Amen? And I want you to keep that in mind as we move forward tonight. But I want us to get what the apostles have told us. Every born-again believer has a gift that enables him to fulfill a specific role in the body of Christ. The body of Christ here is at 1101 North Union Road, is right here listening tonight. You are the body of Christ. Every one of you has been given a gift, and you got a role in this body. Now, I want you to know, not all have the same gift, but all have a gift. Not all have the same role, but all have a role. Now, let me tell you one of the reasons I'm dealing with this tonight. Because, you know, those who live for the things of the world, those who live for temporal purposes and pursuits, soon come up empty. Living for the temporal, living for the material, no matter how hard they work, no matter how much they give themselves to it, in the end, they realize it's empty. When all is said and done, when the day is finished, when the week is finished, they feel empty. But let me tell you how every one of us can be fulfilled in this life. It's realizing that God has a purpose for us that's bigger than the temporal. How many believes that God's got a purpose that for us that's bigger than the material? We can live for something bigger than ourselves. And it's when we discover our gift and find our role to do something for the kingdom, we become fulfilled, we become with purpose and meaning in this life. And that's one of the main purposes that we're dealing with this evening. And yet I want to begin, this is more introductory tonight, but I want to begin with the fact that there are some concepts, wrong concepts we get as believers that keep us from ever discovering our gift and fulfilling our role and knowing that fulfillment. We're going to talk about that. You see, we Christians, sometimes we get some things in our minds crossways and we think wrongly about them, and they make us to end up being miserable and unhappy and unsettled and discontent, even in the house of God, because we got some things wrong in our thinking. Let me give you just an illustration. This isn't what I'm talking about tonight, but let me tell you, give you an illustration of how some Christians get something wrong in their thinking and it makes them miserable. A lot of Christians, and you should be if you're a Christian, are concerned about the will of God. But I have noticed through my years of ministry that so many Christians get to thinking that the will of God is always somewhere else, somewhere out in the future, something monumental ahead. And since the will of God is always somewhere else, somewhere ahead, they live miserable, their Christian experience. I want you to know, we need to get that right. God's will for us is right here tonight. If you were standing in this house of God and you had your hands in the air, worship, you were doing God's will tonight. Hallelujah. And so not getting that right in their thinking, some Christians live in misery. That's just an illustration of getting things wrong. I want to show you before we get to the gifts in a related area how we get things wrong. Now, even this, if we'll listen and get this, it'll help us. But so many Christians get the wrong idea that a Christian's life is divided into two different categories. They get the idea that every Christian lives two lives. We have our spiritual life, and we have our secular life. I mean, we came to church today, two services. We prayed, we sang, we went to Sunday school, we listened to, oh, that's spiritual. But tomorrow morning when I get up on a Monday and go to work, then I'm going to live my secular life. I want you to know that's wrong thinking. For the Christian, there is no secular life. I understand what people, but if you're really following God, all of your life is spiritual. Amen. Whatsoever you do, whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it all to the glory of God. I'll tell you what, some folks get ahead of that, a hold of that. If you're going out providing for your family, man, and you're putting food on the table and you're taking care of them, that's spiritual. How do I know that? Because if you don't do it, you're worse than an infidel. You're unspiritual. There is no spiritual. There is no secular. For the Christian, it is all spiritual. Some people get the idea. Now, I'm not saying it's unimportant. I'm saying it's different. Some people get the idea that coming to church is spiritual, but working a job is secular. Praying is spiritual, but helping your kids with their homework. Now, that's secular. Amen. But I want you to know, we got to quit seeing things that way. There is no division between spiritual and secular for the believer. You say, but we do different things. Yes, that's because we have different vocations. We have different callings. Amen. You say, well, you know, you're a pastor. That's spiritual. I want you to know something. Amen. I'm just fulfilling the role God called me to. But if you're a plumber and God's called you to be a plumber, that's just as spiritual for you than it is for me to get up here and preach tonight. It's a difference of calling. It's a different vocation. But many Christians, they don't get this. And tomorrow morning, even some in this place will get up and you'll go to work so unhappy, so discontent, because now I got to go do the secular thing. I'm telling you, your work can be worship in the sight of God. If you do it with all your heart, you do it to provide for your family, that is worship. You don't have to be unhappy tomorrow and get up and say, well, I'm going to do my secular job. You know, and it sounds spiritual. I've heard folks say, well, if I didn't have to work, I could be a missionary. I could be a pastor. I could be an evangelist. I could be something spiritual if I didn't have to have a job to go to every day. You know, it's kind of like this different roles for men and women. Our government, our society don't. They don't get that. They think the roles have to be the same for the value to be the same. They miss it completely. They think if we say a woman has a different role, then she's less valuable than a man, or vice versa. I mean, they got it backwards. A woman's role is different from a man's role, but that doesn't mean a woman is any less value than a man. It just means the role's different. And I want you to know, if you're a born-again believer, you may never get behind this pulpit. But if you go to work tomorrow as a man of God and live your faith and do your work to the glory of God, amen, that's a different role, but that's no less spiritual. Can you say amen? I'm not trying to get rid of preachers or Sunday school teachers or singers. I'm just saying we got to get a hold of this mentality to think that the only way we can please God is to get a microphone or to teach a class. I mean, you can go forth from this place tonight, get up in the morning and say, thank God, I'm a believer. I'm living a spiritual life. I'm doing what God... You don't have to be discontent tomorrow when the alarm clock goes off. Hallelujah. I'll even go further. School's about to start. Going to school is spiritual. I don't think I convinced them. If you're a welder and you do it as unto the Lord, your job is as spiritual as the youth pastors if you're doing it for the glory of God. I'm not demeaning ministry. I'm not. I hold it in high esteem. You say, well, surely a missionary's work. I mean, look what Brother Heath showed Wednesday night. Great sacrifice. A missionary's work. It has to be. It has to be more spiritual. Now, listen, let me put it this way. It's much more than this. But have you ever thought how far that pastors and evangelists and missionaries would get if there weren't people going to work and having jobs to put the money in the offering pan so that they could? That's more than that. I'm preaching it's more than that. But I'm telling you, there could be no pastors if there weren't folks fulfilling their responsibilities in the workforce. It couldn't happen. But I don't want to blur this because that's not the only thing that makes your job spiritual is that you put money to support a missionary in the offering plate. Don't miss it. That's not what makes it spiritual. What makes it spiritual is you're doing it for the glory of God. You're doing it as a creation of God. If you're a carpenter, you're using your God-given abilities for the glory of God. You be the best carpenter. You show the glory of God through your handiwork, your handicraft. And so this is a related area. You say, how does that relate to gifts? Well, first of all, those that know just a little about the gifts from Scripture, they usually only think of two areas. And I want to challenge you if this isn't true. When we begin to talk about gifts, believers usually think about only these two areas. Number one, what I will call for the moment, special gifts. Boy, he's got a gift to preach. Right? Or evangelists or missionaries. And if we don't think of special gifts, we think of the gifts of the Spirit that are operative in a worship service. We think of words of wisdom and messages in tongues and interpretations of tongues and gifts of healings and gifts of miracles. And we've cheated ourselves because we think the gifts of God are only these two categories. I'm not demeaning any of those. But I want you to know, if you think that is the only areas of gift, you're going to miss what God has for you. Because you will assume, because you don't have a special gift, you haven't been called to pastor or evangelize, or you haven't been called to sing anointedly, or you haven't been called to a Sunday school, or on the other hand, you've never given a message in tongues in church, you've never given an interpretation, you will assume that you have no gift. And that's not true. We're going to look at that. Amen. You see, there are gifts in scriptures that are in neither one of these two categories. They're not a special calling, and neither are they a gift of spirit for in a worship service. Did you know the Bible talks about the gift of helps? Do you know that? Now, I'm going to use a different word for it, but did you know the Bible also talks about the gift of organization, to organize things? Amen. See, we miss these gifts because we think only of those other two categories. I'll be using Brother Brock another time, and I've said it in a joking way, but I mean it very seriously. I've never met a man like Brother Brock that has a gift of septic tanks. We got three or four on our property, and he's been in every one of them to fix them and repair them. I want to tell you, that's a gift. You don't believe it. You come in here for service and the toilets are backing up. You'll thank God for someone. And it's not that. His real gift is a gift of helps. I mean, something would be wrong around the church, he'd find out about it on Sunday night. And I'll tell you what, by 6 o'clock Monday morning, he was here. As far as I know, Brother Brock, you never sang a solo in church, did you? Maybe he has. Maybe it's before my time. Sister Maggie, has Brother Brock ever sang it? But I'm telling you, that gift that he had, that has blessed us over, and I'm not demeaning those that sing, but that gift has blessed us over and over and over again. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? So that's what I want to talk about, these other gifts, amen, that we're going to look at tonight. Now, you see, here's the thing. There are some gifts that you were born with, and that's what you were born to do. And there's some gifts that you were reborn with, and you were reborn to do those things. You were born again to do those things. And often they come together. Let's take musical ability. You are born with musical ability. But when you get reborn, the gift isn't just the musical ability, but to use that gift to encourage, to inspire, to strengthen people with your musical. See, by itself, just the musical ability that you're born with, it's never going to bless anybody. It's never going to make an eternal difference, right? But if you take that natural ability, that natural gift you're born with, and give it to God and let God anoint you, I mean, it's going to impact people for the kingdom. They come together. They come together. Now, I want to talk about this and to understand this, and these are my categories. You may see them different, but I'm going to put the gifts of Scripture in three different categories tonight. I'm going to just quickly give them to you. We're going to talk a little bit about them tonight, and then I'm going to challenge you. We'll cover more specifics at a later time. First of all, even though I hesitate to put it this way, I'm going to. There are positional gifts. Positional gifts. When you think of these, you think of pastors, teachers, evangelists. You don't necessarily have to have a position to have the gift of pastoring or teaching or evangelist, but that's the way we think of these. We think of people who hold these positions in the church or the parachurch in the kingdom of God. We think of these folks as having positions, so we call these positional gifts. That's one area. Another area of gifts are the inspirational gifts. These are gifts that we normally see operative in worship. Gift of wisdom, gift of knowledge, gift of discerning of spirits, gift of faith, gift of healings, gift of miracles, gift of message in tongues, gift of prophecy, gift of interpretation of tongues. And these are gifts that people receive in a service that inspire us. How many knows the gifts of the Spirit are extremely inspiring? They encourage, they exhort, they comfort. But there is another area of gifts, and this is where I think we miss it so often. And I'm going to call this the inclinational gifts. I'll tell you why. The inclinational gifts. Some people call these the ministry gifts or the motivational gifts. I call them the inclinational gifts. And these are listed in Scripture. Service. Just being a servant. That's what I was talking about with Brother Brock. Being a servant. The gifts of help. The gift of organizing. The gift of teacher. You're not a teacher per se in position, but you have a gift of taking things and making it simple. It may be one-on-one to a new convert, but you just take things and you instruct and you build up people through your teaching. So these are the three areas: positional gifts, inspirational gifts, and inclinational gifts. Now listen. I don't want to get into Trinity tonight, though that's a wonderful topic. And even though God is one being with three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they never work independently one from the other. Amen? Never. Not an intent, not an action. They're always together, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But to help us get the difference of these gifts, I want us to note that a different person of the triune God is said to give each area of these gifts. I don't know if you've ever noticed this before, but let's go back to the positional gifts, or forward. Let's go forward. The positional gifts are given by the Son. The positional gifts are given by the Son. If you'll look in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8, we see that Jesus gives these. Wherefore he saith, when he ascendeth up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Here's the gifts of the Son, Jesus. Jesus is the one that ascended up. He's the one that died and rose again. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, that would be missionaries today, and some pastors and teachers. The Son is said to give the positional gifts. Let's move on to the inspirational gifts. You already know who gives them. The Spirit gives the inspirational gifts. Let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Who gives the inspirational gifts? The Spirit. The Spirit. But let's look at the inclinational gifts. The Father gives these. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members, we read this in our text, in one body, all members have not the same body. And if you begin to read these, you understand that these are gifts that the Father gives to the church. Look at verse 13. Even to the point of having an inclinational gift of distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Have you thought that's a gift? Being able to be hospitable. I think of Margie when I think of this. She made everybody feel a part. Everybody ate some of her soup or whatever. She is given to hospitality. We don't think of that as a gift. That's a gift. That's a gift. It's an inclinational gift. And so let's go back and look at these just briefly tonight. I'm just introducing you to them. The positional gifts, and I want to look at this from the angle of how we miss it sometimes as believers. Here's the point. Just because you're not called to a positional gift does not mean that you don't have a gift or your gift is less important. You see, and I'm really going to deal with this because I think it's got so many Christians in a mess and miserable, because some cannot be happy if they do not have a position to what, in their thinking, would verify that they have a gift or verify that they have a role in the church. They cannot separate. They think, if I've got a role to play, if I have a gift, there must be a recognizable, structured position. And they miss the fact that they may not be what God has them to do at all. And that what God has for them is no less than those who operate their gifts in some given position. Through many years, I've dealt with folks that become discontent in the church. And here's their words. I'm not taking pot shots. I'm not trying to be harmful. I'm trying to be helpful and show you how people miss it. They'll come to me and they'll say, Pastor, I just don't want to be here anymore. I'm just not being used. I'm not just being used. And they say it over and over. And I have sat down with some of them, Brother Brian, and I begin to list things on paper. You're doing this, you're helping this one, you're doing that. And there'll be a long list of things that they're doing that helps people, that helps the church. And yet they're plagued with this feeling, I'm not being used. You know, whoa, I have the gift of slipping on that step all the time. I can't blame the bifocal because I didn't have my glasses on. Usually I say it's a bifocal problem, you know. Someone tell me where I was at. It was really profound, whatever I was saying. Yeah, I'm not used. There's a whole list of things they're doing, but because they don't have a given position, they feel like they're of no use to the kingdom of God. They become discontent. They become unsatisfied. And you know, I really don't fault them. You say, how can you not fault them, Pastor? Because that is ingrained within people. You know, really, it's ingrained to, and I know we have people that's much more mature than to think this, but it has become ingrained in churches that unless you're up here on the platform doing something, or unless you hold a position in the leadership of the church, that you don't play a role. You're just a spectator. You're not a participator. You're not doing it, because these are the things that are touted as the coveted positions. And so people become very discontent. But I want you to know, they would be liberated. I said they would be liberated in their spirit, amen, to realize that they don't have to have a position to do something for God. Amen. I had somebody come to me just recently doing many, many things in the church. But every time they talked with me, they said, I want to do something for God. I want to do something for God. And I realized after a while, I told my wife, what they're really saying, because they're already doing this and that, when they say, I want to do something for God, what they're really saying is, I want a position. Now look, he that desireth the office of a bishop desireth a good thing. I'm not mocking that. I'm not playing that down. God does have that calling. But I'm talking about those. You're missing what God has for you because you don't realize it's not a positional gift. You've got an inclinational gift, and God's got something great you can do for the kingdom and be satisfied and fulfilled and make an impact on people's life and advance the kingdom. And don't let that mentality stop you. Be liberated from that. Did you know much of the real work of the church is done by folks who have never had a designated position? I'll tell you that as pastor. A lot of the real work of the church is done by those that have never had a designated position or a positional gift. Never have. They do the work. Have you ever heard of the position intercessory prayer warrior? Pastoral staff. The pastor appointed so-and-so to be intercessory prayer warrior. Have you ever heard of that position? Now, I know it exists in the kingdom of God, but I'm talking about on the church staff. I want to tell you, I believe those who pray with intercessory prayer, I believe that is so vital and important. Isn't it? Have you ever heard as a position on the church staff, bake cookies for the kids? Official. How many believes that's a ministry? Every Wednesday night to bake cookies for the kids. Isn't that right? Amen. What about the position, send cards to the sick? What's your position at the church? I'm the official, send the cards to the sicker, to the sick. Did you know? We got a lady here that wherever I go, that somebody's sick, her cards proceed. Amen. Is that not an important gift? That kind of compassion? And so don't let the fact that there are positional gifts and you're not in a position keep you from realizing there's not much. There's I didn't say that right. You understand what I mean? Don't let you think that there isn't anything for you to do for the kingdom of God. Because every believer has a gift to play a role in the house of God. Let's look at it from the terms of the inspirational gifts. Again, I'm not demeaning those. We need, in fact, I pray every time before service, God, may the gifts of the Spirit be operative in our worship tonight. We need folks that are operated with the gifts of the Spirit in our services. Amen? And I've already mentioned what they are, these inspirational gifts. Now, look, I'm glad we're Pentecostal. I really am. And I think Pentecostals have emphasized the neglected truth of how the Holy Spirit will move in a service, not just on the platform, but the Holy Spirit moves upon the body so that the body participates in the worship. Every word of God does not come when the pastor gets up to preach. There's words of God that are shared in testimonies, that are shared in messages in tongues and interpretations, that are shared. Sister Dixon got up last Sunday morning with a word from God. She spoke out. That's a word from God. She never came up and took the microphone. And so we must have the inspirational gifts. But I want to ask you a question. I was teasing Tabitha. I asked if she wanted to be called Tabitha or Dorcas. How many members Dorcas in the Bible? Cared for the sick? Make clothes for him, food. I want to ask you something. This is not a trick question. In the end, Dorcas taking care of the sick, was that any less spiritual than Peter laying hands and healing the sick? Think about it. You know why I think it was no less important? Because both of them are mentioned in the book of the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Dorcas is in the book of the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And what did she do? She cared for the sick. She prepared their clothes. And Peter's mentioned in the book of the Acts of the Spirit. He laid hands. See, Peter had the gift of healing. But Dorcas had the gift of compassion and helping and concern. Amen? Dorcas did not have an inspirational gift. You know, if we could just realize that. Some, because they don't have a gift of healing or a gift of faith, they beat themselves up as spiritually inferior, like they can't do anything. And there's so much they can do. You know, I'll admit right off, I love children, I care for children, but if you put me in that kid's Sunday school class back there, I'd pull all the hair off my top of my head. It's not my thing. It makes me nervous. Not kids, but trying to minister to them. The only ministry I have to kids is we walk and pray, walk and pray. Some of you got gifts to work with kids. Amen. I'm not losing you tonight, am I? Did you know at Sidewalk Sunday School, we even have somebody that takes care of the porta pot? That's a real ministry. I think there's a reward for it. Don't you? And you know, the most liberating thing you can think is, you know, now I'm not saying we shouldn't seek spiritual gifts. We should. The Bible instructs us to covet these spiritual gifts. But if God doesn't use me to give a message in tongues, that doesn't mean I'm just here as a spectator, sit down and be miserable. Mike, God has something for me to do. I'll say to me, this used to bother me because I believe God heals the sick. I believe He does. I really do. And I have prayed for people. They have got well. They got healed. I that's happened. You know, it's also happened. I went to pray for some in the hospital and they finally got out. They came to church and said, Brother Hurst came and prayed for me and we left. I got worse. I mean, you talk about deflating your balloon. But you know what I realize in the kingdom of God? You know, God has used me in that department before, but I really don't have the gifts of healing. That's not what He's given me. He's given me more of a gift of teaching. I don't have that. And, you know, before I feel too bad about it, I read about a guy named John the Baptist, and Jesus said there's been no man born of woman greater than John the Baptist. And you know what the Scripture says of John the Baptist? He did no miracle. But I'm telling you what, he could point that finger and get right to the root of the problem in a hurry, couldn't he? He had different gifts. And so because you don't even have an inspirational gift, Don't let that make you think you don't have something that God has given you. And so let's look at this inclinational gifts. I'm about done. I'm just going to introduce it tonight. Inclinational gifts. I named a few of them. Service, organizing, teaching. We're going to be looking at these specifically and individually. But if you do not have a positional gift or inspirational gift, think that you may have an inclinational gift. I believe you do. I know you do. Let me tell you how this is liberating. I have people come to me all the time, and I'm appreciative of their being candid. But they'll say, Pastor, I just can't get up in front of people. You see, already we're on the wrong track. We're already thinking that the gifts of God and ministry is about getting up in front of people. Now, some of us are called to do that. Amen? But I want to tell you something. This is liberating. Because they'll come to me and say, I just can't get up in front of people. And I want to tell them, well, that may not be what God has called you to do at all. You're liberated. Now, you're not liberated to go sit down and do nothing. You're liberated to find what it is that God has for you to do. I've appreciated my wife on that. I know she's a pastor's wife, and I think she's a great pastor's wife. But it's bothered her so much. She said, honey, I can't play the piano. She said, I can't get up and speak at the groups. And I tease her all the time. I said, well, it's easy to speak. Just get up in front of them and act like you're mad at me and just let her roll. I've never pushed her. I mean, there's been times I've teased her hard. That started before we even started liking each other that way. I always teased her on those areas. But I want to tell you, and I'm not just bragging on her as a part of our marriage. I mean this as her. You won't find a harder worker and someone that's always sensitive to who needs help and who needs talk to and stuff like that. Now, she may surprise us. She may come take the microphone away from me next Sunday night and let her go. I don't know. Be liberated. Maybe you haven't been called to teach a Sunday school class. If you have, quit hiding. We need you. Maybe you have been called to teach a Sunday school class. Be liberated to find what that inclinational gift. You say, why do you keep calling it inclinational gift? Let me explain. It's been long enough. Let me explain. We're on the inclinational gift, brother, if you can find that slide. Let me explain what I mean by that. An inclinational gift means it's something that you were born inclined to do. You're born inclined to do it. And the spiritual part of that is not only you're born inclined to do it, but by the Spirit, you want to do that for the kingdom of God. You are inclined to do that by the Spirit for the kingdom of God. Let's use music again. That's something you can be born with. You have that inclination to sing or to play a musical instrument. But the spiritual gift part of that, God gave you the natural gift when you were born to play music. But the spiritual gift part of that is God has given you a gift of when you use your musical ability, people are touched, people are blessed, people are moved, people are encouraged. That's the spiritual. And the spiritual part of it is you don't want to do it for yourself. You want to do it for the kingdom of God. You don't want to sing so people can say you're a good singer. The inclination from God is you want to sing because you want to see sinners come to the altar as you sing. You want to see people get blessed and excited and encouraged. It's an inclination, both the natural ability and the desire to use it for the kingdom of God. You see, I have a real, real desire to be a soloist. I can just picture it in my mind. I've told you before, but I wish I could borrow some people's voices and just show them what could be done with it. I mean, sing aggressive, right? I have a great dream of being a soloist. How many believes I have the natural born inclination to be one? No. Did you know there's some people there, they really want to do something, but they don't have the natural ability. But let me tell you something that's just as bad. It's somebody that has the natural inclination, but they do not have the spiritual inclination to use it for the kingdom of God. If you've got a natural ability to sing, you ought to be doing it for the glory of God. You ought to be in choir. You ought to be in nursing home ministry so you can sing to those elderly folks. right? I mean, you know, if you the music part of it you're born with, but the spiritual part of it, it may be just a collection of four or five at the nursing home, but you'll sing from your heart just as much there as you would if there were 1,500 people and you were under the spotlights. That's your gift, to connect with people through music. And this is what I'm just introducing tonight. And so let me wrap it up for this evening. Gifts are never for the sake of boosting a person's ego. Gifts are for the sake of benefiting others and glorifying Christ. Leave here tonight knowing every believer in this place has a God-given gift for a God-given role in the church, in the body of Christ. I hardly ever hear him anymore, but Rush Limbaugh, I may not get it just the way he puts it, but he said, "I'm doing what I was born to do." And you can't argue much with him. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every person in this place says, "I'm not only doing what I was born to do, I am doing what I was born again to do." Everyone, I want everybody to think this way. You younger folks, on up. You say, "Well, I'm past that now. I'm 53 years old. I'm past that." No, 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 no. God's got something for you to do. You've got a gift. And I'll tell you what, one of the gifts we need from our elderly saints is we need their gift of wisdom. Right? There's something to do. Rush Limbaugh, I'm doing what I was born to do. I want you to ask the question as we end tonight. What were you specifically gifted to do? Think about that. What do you feel a burning desire to do for the kingdom of God? Not for your ego, but for the kingdom of God. And then I want to challenge you. Let God show you what that is. And it'll change the way you view church. It'll change the way you view yourself. It'll bring you out of all that misery and discontent. You know why so many people fall so often in temptation and find themselves back in the world? Because they've never really seen it, that God has something for them to do in the church, in the kingdom of God. They haven't seen that. Let me tell you, did you know some folks have never even entertained the thought that God wants to use them? But he does. He does. It'll bring purpose and meaning. Music, would you come? If you're here tonight and you're an unbeliever, something is missing in your life, and I'll tell you what it is. It's Jesus Christ. It's knowing him as Savior and Lord. Amen. And if you don't know Christ tonight, let me tell you, the only way you'll find fulfillment is come into this step that we use as an altar and give your life, your future, your soul, your all, give it to Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're a believer tonight and you honestly are trying to serve God and you're miserable and you're full of discontent, I want to tell you what you need to do. You need to come to Christ. I'll tell you what's missing. You need to come to Christ and say, "Christ, show me what it is you have for me to do in the body of Christ." I promise you, I'm not asking you to come take the microphone. I'm not asking you to sing a special. You've missed all that prior tonight. But I want you to know, if you're born again, you'll never be happy. You'll never be content in the kingdom of God until you discover what it is that he would have you do for his kingdom. He's got so everybody to do. We're all members of the body of Christ. We can't do without it one. We can't do without it one. Amen. I want you to stand across the building. I'm going to, for every believer, this is going to be the weirdest closing of a sermon you've ever heard. I just want you to repeat one sentence with me. Would you do it? How many would do that as we close this sermon? Now, we're talking about the body of Christ, right? I'm going to say it first, tell you what it is, then you're going to say it together out loud. I am not an appendix in the body of Christ. Would you say that with me all over the building? Let's say it. Come on. I am not an appendix in the body of Christ. Let's say it again. That felt spiritual. I am not an appendix in the body of Christ. That's true for everybody. Amen. Let's bow our hearts. Father, thank you that Jesus is Lord of all. Thank you, Lord, that all of our lives can be lived for your glory, exalting you, seeing lives changed, people saved. Lord, help our men and women and young people when they go to the job tomorrow to realize that if they're serving you, they're doing something spiritual. Help us to discover that special gift you've given us to play a role in your kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want to open these altars and say, for you to say, I want to have that role and fulfill that role and know my gift to fulfill that role in the kingdom of Christ. I'm more concerned about that than making a name, making money. I want to have my role, know my gift, do my role in the body of Christ for the kingdom. If that's your desire tonight, would you come talk to God about the message tonight? Would you do that? Would you come talk to the Lord about the message? Say, God, I know you caused me to be born and born again. What on earth are you in the church for? What on earth are you in the church for? Hallelujah.
And though the cost be great,
hallelujah,
I'll work for you.
Lord, show me what it is. Show me what it is. Show me what it is.
Jesus, use me. And oh, Lord, don't refuse me.
Oh, God, your kingdom's
surely
important to me.
There's a
oh, God, your kingdom's important to me. I want to play my role. I want to play my role in your kingdom, God. Lord, the things you've gifted me with, I want to use them for your kingdom. I don't want to be a spectator. I want to be a participator.
Lord, help my will to crumble.
Let's talk to our Lord. He's the Lord of the church. He's the head of the body. He's the head of the body. Talk to him tonight. Oh, Lord, show me, God. Show me, Lord. Show me, Lord. Hallelujah.
Jesus,
hallelujah.
Use me.
Talk to him, young people. He's got something he wants you to do.
Lord,
oh, it doesn't matter your age. He's got something he wants you to do.
Surely
hallelujah.
Hallelujah. A
word hallelujah.
That I
hallelujah.
Can do.
Thank you, Jesus.
Though the cost be great, I'll work for you.